Off the ball, GAA.
I think if everybody's been honest with themselves, we would have went down to Dublin on the hope that we can ignite the thing again. But once we were beaten by Cork, I think we knew deep down that we weren't going to win in All Ireland.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Racing Pod on Off the Ball with William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
Welcome to episode 138 of the Racing Pod on Off the Ball with John Duggan and Johnny Ward. Remember, we're here every Friday with analysis, race previews, tips, stories, interviews, bit of crack as well. And also a reminder, folks, you can get the full Off the Ball Racing Pod for free wherever you get your podcasts. Johnny, how you doing?
Good, Judy.
You're surviving the sun.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed it, actually. The only aspect to it I don't enjoy is nighttime. I'm generally kind of an outside the cover sleeper anyway, and I think the three of us in the house have struggled a bit. I actually went to bed last night with an ice pack, I'd never tried this before, but actually it does help. Like, Irish houses are not generally built for air conditioning because we never needed it until recent years. But my son seemed to be upset with the heat, and he came downstairs and he wanted to watch Postman Pat at 2 in the morning, and I decided to give him a banana instead, and we chatted and we went upstairs and eventually he went to sleep. But I think we're all just struggling with the sun. But other than that, I've been out cycling and it's been great. A problem for the racing during the week where they couldn't race in Britain on Wednesday, but yeah,
probably too much racing there anyway.
Yeah, there is, and here actually, to be fair.
Irish Derby weekend, a race with a storied history back to 1866, the first running, thinking of all the great horses that have won it: Batty Moss, Nijinsky, Shergar, Monjeu, Galileo, El Gran Senor, Old Vic.
Yeah, and we had an unsatisfactory Epsom Derby this year, I think, and very unsatisfactory Coronation Cup. Extremely unsatisfactory with the favourite running but not running. But Epsom is a totally different track to the Curragh. And unless we get massive thunderstorms, I think we'll have really nice ground for the Curragh. It's such a fair track. 8 runners as well, which is something that they're obviously keen to make sure happens. Did Australia win it against 4 rivals? I don't like that at all for a race. I think, the Irish Derby should have good runners. But as you say, JD, historically some very good winners. And this year's renewal is well up to scratch. I mean, it's unfortunate that we don't really get French runners much anymore. The French Derby has now run over a mile and extended 2. This year's race was notable for Aidan O'Brien having the first 2-3. He might have the first 2-3 on Sunday.
Over 30,000 people in 2005, about 11,000 last year, maybe the same this year. A lot of competing things for people's attention. The All-Ireland quarterfinals, the World Cup. Is this something that you're relaxed about? Or do we think we need to be making a bigger day of the Derby?
No, I wouldn't be relaxed about it. I think to an extent, there's only so much you can do with the Derby. Leopardstown's flat offering, I would argue all day they're not doing enough. For a long time, they're not doing enough to get people to go. Whereas the Curragh, for the Derby Festival, maybe they could do more, but the Curragh still has a big problem. It's not on the train line, and if you want to have a drink, you have to get a lift there, or you get the train and you get a courtesy bus. But it used to be on the train line, and it was a great excursion, so that's been a problem. It's a long day on Sunday. It's 4.5 hours, and without sounding like a lad who spends too much time in the pub, that's a long day without socialising or having a drink. So if you go, you have to have a designated driver, or you have to have someone bringing you there. So that for me has been a problem for the Curragh. The general flat interest in Ireland just isn't that great. The only meeting that's really popular on the flat in Ireland is Laytown at the beach. And that goes to show that people in this country, they're just not that bothered about going to see good flat horses.
Why is that? It's just too much big business, maybe not enough romantic stories.
I don't think there's real love for Coolmore in general, who dominates sport. And it's not Coolmore's fault that dominates sport. Whereas you could row in behind horses over Jumps, the likes of Beef or Salmon or an owner, of course Jumps is dominated as well by big owners. But I don't think people get too they don't shed tears out of joy when Coolmore win race after race after race. But maybe there's more to it that it's just a thing that we prefer Jumps race in this country. But in my view, we prefer days out. We prefer junkets like Galway races and Laytown and. Punchestown Festival. Listo. Like Punchestown gets Listowel, like way like massive crowds. Like it's a bit like Royal Ascot has become a massive thing, but it's a thing. And the Curra isn't the thing it was for the Irish Derby Festival.
That's it, isn't it? That's the answer. It's the day out. The Derby used to be a day out, maybe helped by the train and in the Budweiser days. And that's now not seen as a diet.
It's sponsored by Dubai Duty Free, which, with respect, as much as it's probably a good sponsor, is not going to do the job that Budweiser did back in the day. I mean, you couldn't pick two more opposites, really, in terms of Dubai and Budweiser. And I'm not saying that Budweiser was like, you know, the best thing ever, but in those days it was a big event. But I'm not negative on the Irish Derby. Like, I'm going to go to Croke Park on Sunday, but I really enjoy the Irish Derby. I really enjoy going to the Curra. I know a lot of the bookmakers have issues with it, but in terms of the vantage point that you can enjoy watching the race whilst also having a drink inside the parade ring, the access to it. I feel the Curra is a totally under appreciated jewel in the crown of Irish racing. I just wish they had a train station like they used to have until about 25 years ago.
What do you think of the track? Do you think it's a fair track?
It's the best track. Like it's just a the only maybe negative against the Curra, and I don't know if it is a negative, is it's quite open, so it can be a little bit windswept. But it's a brilliant track. Like you will have some horses with the hard luck story at the Curra, but there doesn't seem to be much talk like there was at Royal Ascot, exaggerated or otherwise, of track bias. And it's just a track where you have such width in the straight, and you have such a long straight, and it's not like crazy testing, but there is a bit of a demand on your fitness, your resolution, your stamina. It's very different to Epsom, but it is like, it's the best flat track, possibly the best flat track in the world. I'm not going to say I know.
You haven't been to Sha Tin, John.
I haven't been to Sha Tin, but I would say Sha Tin might be more dramatic to watch. With, you know, they come into the straight and it's a bit shorter. The Curra is extremely fair, and the best horse usually wins. And for me, that's what I want in racing.
I just picked
or a winner.
I picked a course out at the top of my head. I mean, Happy Valley looks spectacular with the skyscrapers. I'd like to go there.
In terms of the actual, like, the event and the, like, Shanty is an incredibly beautiful racetrack. The Curra, I mean, the Curra is the Curra plains have been destroyed by sheep. You know, there should be trees, there should be stuff there. We shouldn't say, oh my, the Curra is really beautiful. Like, it's not. It's destroyed by sheep and nothing is growing there. But the racetrack itself is superb. And you got to remember, JD, it's on the Cork line, the Kerry line, it's on the Galway line, the Waterford line. Obviously, the Dublin line, and it's basically on every line with a connection to Dublin. So if it would cost probably 10 billion to do it now, going on the National Children's Hospital, but to get the Curra train station back would do wonders in my view. Brian Kavanagh, who's now the manager of the racecourse, spoke about being a potential park and ride as well, which is another thing that they could look at. But for me, I do lament the loss of the train station, but I've been saying this for years now.
Sheep, you are at fault. Get it?
We're not going to better that today.
Eight runners, which is great. 1.5 miles, 4:35 Sunday for the Dubai Duty Free Irish Derby.
I should, by the way, point out that I got lamb recently, like last weekend, and I asked the chef, where did you get that lamb? And he said, it's from the Curra, and it was phenomenal. Like, so I am an absolute hypocrite.
Leave that part of the chat. Mm. So let's go through them in order. Action. Is first up, second to the Dante, 12th at Epsom in the Epsom Derby, trained by Edna O'Brien. May be in the ground, but also the distance. Second in the Group 1 Futurity Stakes as a 2-year-old at Doncaster. Hard to know where the ability of Action falls for me.
He started off the season when he ran in his trial, which was won by Rahib, who's a brother to Baid, and he started off as a 4-6 favourite by Frankel, and there seemed to be a lot of hope behind him. Subsequently, I tipped him up at York when he was second to Item, form that hasn't worked out, although I'd give Item a bit of a pass in the Derby. But the run in the Derby for me, he didn't necessarily go on the ground. I feel it's a nice ride for Declan McDonagh to get. I feel he could run well, but I'm not sure what his role in the race will be. And team tactics are somewhat topical at the moment.
He's 25-1.
Yeah, I suspect his role mightn't be befitting him finishing in the best possible place. I know Aidan O'Brien says every horse runs on his or her merits, but you know, Aidan talks about wanting a fair gallop, and I feel here they'll want a nice gallop for Benvenuto Cellini and others, and Action might be the one to go forward.
That said, we have had crazy pacemakers win at crazy odds in the last year or so as well. So you never know. And there is a little bit of money for him. Let's go second in the order. Benvenuto Cellini out of Franco wouldn't have been the winner at Epsom, regardless of being ruled out as a non-runner subsequently, which was controversial. His price to me stems almost wholly from this convincing win in the Chester Vase over the distance, and he's once again in 6-4 favourite. I think that's short enough for me.
Yeah, it's very easy to make that case. Like, I kind of do fancy him for the race, but based on what he's achieved, he is short enough. I just got the vibe going to Epsom that he was 100% their best horse, and now that didn't turn out to be the case in the day. But you look at ground descriptions, JD, like the ground might as well have been a slurry pit for, like, Calandigan had literally no chance to ground. It was given as good to soft.
Yeah.
So I, as much as I was saying, you know, Benvenuto Cellini will be fine and go to soft ground, he wasn't. But it was very, very testing if they're calling it go to soft.
They can probably call this good. It'll be faster than good if there's no thunderstorms.
Yeah, and it'll be a tricky one for the staff how they, you know, how they manage the ground if there isn't the rain. But he floats off that ground. He was very good at Chester. It's not amazing form, but I actually think nearly last year when he won at Leopardstown, I loved that performance. When he went to Doncaster, the ground was all wrong for him. I just feel he's the best O'Brien runner, and that'll probably be enough. But I'd be looking for a bit bigger than the price he's at.
The price of Bunyola Bay is 40-1. Sean Levy rides a bit of an unknown quantity, to be honest. Won a valuable race at Goran Park, but he's yet to tackle either this distance or this class of opponent.
Well, at least if you're backing him, you have upside in that. He's a bit of a blank canvas. He won at Goran. He's by a sire that is a very, very nice sire, Gaeth, who's getting progressive, improving horses. Richard Hannon run them over here. As much as it's a derby, I do suspect he thinks he can run well. And there are other horses in the race much shorter that I'd be against than Bunyola Bay, and he might be able to slot in behind action. I don't think he's going to get a soft lead.
Next up is the champ, Christmas Day, a top price 9-2 with Hills, comfortable winner of the Derby at Epsom in much different conditions as we've outlined there, and with his pedigree, stamina, obviously strong suit. Did win the Bally Sachs Stakes at Leopardstown on his first run of the year, so if one could scratch a one-paced finish to the Dante from the puzzle and maybe leave that behind his form analysis, he could be overpriced at 9-2. The alternative thought is that also, Epsom could leave a mark.
Yeah, I spoke to somebody this morning who's taken a break or has left sports journalism after many years in it. And if I do, maybe I'll become, if I do the same, maybe I'll become a trader with Hills, because week in, week out, I tend to agree with the horses they take on. I couldn't have this horse in my mind. I feel he was good at Epsom. And in fairness, his run at York wasn't bad, but like that York run wouldn't be nearly good enough. That was on what? Good ground. For me at Epsom, he's a Camelot bred horse who handled the ground, went through it. He's very, very solid. I'd be amazed, and I mean amazed, if he won this race.
Right, okay. James J. Braddock, about 6.5-1 on him, but he'd been nibbled elsewhere. He's honest, he's consistent, he was third at Epsom, but he's been defeated by Christmas Day twice. Just think he might be somewhere between Group 1 and Group 2 level.
I would have his price much shorter, much closer to Pierre, much closer to Pierre Bonnard. They clashed at Leopardstown with endorsements. He kind of boosted the form since, but that race where Pierre Bonnard was much, much shorter, for me, I'd say that'll be the ground more so that you'll get than the ground that James J. Braddock definitely handled. Like, he was good at Epsom, maybe he was given a soft at that stage, but he was good at Epsom. That was a good performance. I think I'd be amazed if he won this race regardless of the ground, but he definitely needs rain, and I do feel he's vulnerable.
Pierre Bonnard is actually the next horse we're going to go into. 12-1 shot, Group 1 winner at Saint-Cloud last year. Looked to have a big future ahead of him, but has yet to really maybe sparkle as a 3-year-old compared to his 2-year-old.
Yeah, he's a great future behind him, I think, at this stage, the old saying. But like, you look at his prices, like on his first start of the season, he was evens at Leopardstown. I thought he was a lay that day. The next day, I probably thought he'd win. He was 5-6, didn't win. And at Epsom, he was the gamble of the race. Like, he was practically sent off favourite. He was the gamble of the race with action, and he was disappointing. I still feel at the prices, I could definitely see him finishing the first three. He's solid and he liked the ground, and I'll give him a pass on Epsom. On the Leopardstown form, I think he's getting there, but again, I'd be very surprised if he won the race.
Rahib is the second favourite. Interesting runner that he's fresh. He's 2 from 2. He's well bred out to see the stars. Won a Group 3 over 10 furlongs at Sandown in April. Owen Burrows wants him to deliver mentally, feel that they physically have him where he wants to be. He might have the ability. Does he have the experience? Maybe he doesn't need it. He's definitely fresher than some of these. He's about a 3-1 shot, Rahib.
Yeah, I think Martin Dixon of Racing TV, he said the last horse to win the Derby after two runs was Zagreb.
Irish Derby. Or
the Irish Derby. And that's going back to like the early 90s, I think. I think Pat Shanahan might have ridden him, and he was, I knew a fellow who worked at Dermot Wells. He actually had a child recently, his first child in his 50s, but his name online on the forums was Zagreb, because I think he worked at Dermot Wells and he must have backed Zagreb to win the Derby that day. He was definitely not the well first
1996
one. 96,
right. Pat Shanahan for Dermot Wells. You're absolutely
who won the
right.
All-Ireland that year?
Which one?
No, who won the football?
Meath
Mayo.
Yeah.
And the hurling?
The hurling was Wexford.
Wexford, yeah.
That's my party piece.
What won the Ireland?
Give me a year and give me any sport. I'll probably be able to give you the...
They were heady days back in the mid-90s. Life seemed simpler then, but Rahib, I think there's so much to like about this horse. Bailly didn't run, I think, till he was a three-year-old. He has a pedigree to die for. I'm not sure why he was so big in that trial in the betting. He was way out in the betting. He went from 5-2 to 5-1. Action didn't perform that day, but he looked very, very good. And if you back any horse in this race that isn't Rahib, you have to be very, very afraid if there's money for him, because he could be anything.
And lastly, Shehan, if that's the way to pronounce it, has got the form to find with James J. Braddock this year, and is the outsider of the field, 66-1. Can you make any case for him?
Yeah, Al Shakab don't need it, but if you're, I don't know if they were put under a bit of, if they're given an incentive to run the race, but they really do want eight runners. This horse is worth his place, so you know, his run at the card the last year wasn't too bad behind Causeway, who's a very, very solid and progressive horse, and obviously up against it, but I could definitely see him finishing better than his odds. I could see him finishing the first six, five or six.
My selection's Rahib, Johnny. Threes. Are you in the same bracket?
Are you
going to go Pierre Bernardi Tway?
No, I'm going to go Benvenuto Cellini.
Right.
With a bit of reluctance, I have a strong opinion on the Irish Derby. You can't have a strong opinion when you don't know how good Rahib is. He's only rated £2 below Benvenuto Cellini, even though he's only had two runs. And I am kind of mindful of the fact that he has more upside than nearly anything in this race. But I feel Benvenuto Cellini will have... this will be his cup final in many ways. He'll perform to the best of his ability, and I feel that possibly will be good enough. You would want a bit bigger than the price available, though.
That's the Irish Derby preview, sponsored by Dubai Duty Free on Sunday, 4:35 at the Curragh, a mile and a half and eight runners, which is great to see for the each way players if you're going to have an interest. So let's look at Saturday, because as you said, Johnny, the card is very good on Saturday at the Curragh. Lots of group races. The Anglesey Stakes is for a 2-year-old colts, six runners, 6.5 furlongs at 2.15. Confucius, it's odds on. 2-1 on places. 1 in Ace Maiden, then 6 in the Coventry Stakes at Ascot. Should probably make amends here. There's a bit of money for Dandy Man Dan in 25-1, who won a Bath Maiden and then was defeated in two listed events.
Yeah, I suppose Immortal Guard is interesting. On a line through Great Barrier Reef, he was 2.5 lengths behind Great Barrier Reef at the Curragh after winning his maiden. He didn't do a lot wrong on that occasion. Confucius was 1.5 lengths behind Great Barrier Reef. A lot of people at Royal Ascot were tipping up Great Barrier Reef, even though Ryan Moore was riding Confucius for whatever reason, and I could kind of see why, but I don't think Confucius ran a bad race. He would be the first leg of a very, very obvious sort of mug double that I would suggest tomorrow if you want an interest. It's only a mug double if you believe Sharp Price, but like doubles are mug betting. But I think Confucius should just win this. He's backing up quickly, but he should win.
Then we have 3:20. This is the early stud stakes over 6 furlongs for fillies, 2-year-olds again, and 8 runners this time, which is great for the each way. 3:20, the post time of the Curra on Saturday. Sun God S once again, odds on, 2-1 on. A bit of money for Controller into 12s and places, and Bell of the Ball into 14-1, 12s and places as well. They're the two horses attracting money. The one I liked was Controller, because she was second on debut in an Ace Maiden over the distance behind a Royal Ascot winner, but then she missed the break and finished 14th over at Ascot. She's got a chance if she can leave that behind her. I thought she was the each way play of the race.
Yeah, and she was 3-1 at Royal Ascot. Like, it was a hell of a punt, and as you say, the race was lost at the start. Possibly worth a saver or an each way bet into Sun God, if you're opposing Sun Goddess or backing Sun Goddess. I was at Limerick when this horse was running at Royal Ascot, and people were coming into the press room saying this thing's a machine, like, can't be beaten. But Libertango hadn't read the script. Everything went right for the favourite, except just done in the last kind of few yards by Libertango. Again, just like the Confucius kind of backs up quickly after Roy Lascott, but I really like this horse. I'd be surprised if either of them were beaten.
Sun Goddess again for you. Battle of the Ball, the one attracting money, won a Cork Maiden over 5 furlongs after weakening over the course and distance on debut. Now, that sometimes it's hard to weigh whether that she didn't get home or she was just her first start and she wasn't completely match sharp. So obviously the market feels that she will get 6.
Yeah, and Jessica Harrington's horse is in very good form. It was soft to heavy in places at Cork. Interesting to see a hood on as well, which is a surprising move after a horse wins so easily, but totally different conditions tomorrow.
Then we have the Pretty Potty Stakes at the Curragh on Saturday. This is the Group 1, the feature of the day, and 10 runners for fillies and mares, 1 mile and 2. Once again, the Oaks winner's in there, getting away the lands, thundering on, and has been backed into odds on. And Estrange, or Estrange, whatever way you want to pronounce it, is the other horse there at 100 to 30. Just going through here, it could be that Venetian Lace is an on-runner because...
looks like it.
Yeah, confirm that in a moment. But just let's talk about Thundering On. Look, she was a Group 3 winner over the distance in Avon before bolting up in the Epsom Oaks. Tackles her elders now, but gets that way to Lance. Surely the one to beat.
Yeah, and her dam actually won this race for Joseph O'Brien on what I think was good to firm ground. So there's a small question mark about Thundering On, given how well she handled a little bit of softness at Epsom the last day, and she obviously drops back to 1 mile and 2. I'm kind of opposing her with a bit of reluctance, JD. I thought it was a very, very average Oaks for all that she looked like a superstar in it. This is 1 mile and 2 taking on her elders in it. It's a much, much deeper race for me. Even if it's not necessarily a vintage renewal of the race, you still have Estrange and you have like One Look who's solid and Red Letter who's solid. I'm going to go with Red Letter. Probably won't be good enough, but at 10 to 1, I feel she'll travel away well in the race. I thought she, you know, her effort the last day at York was very, very solid. I give her a good place chance. I know that she probably won't be good enough to be thundering on, but fascinated to see what the market makes the favourite here.
Like, we might take the long way, it's 50 to 1. This horse was what, second in the Irish Oaks?
Second
last
in the Oaks to.
Mini Hawk.
She actually gave her a bit of a scare.
Hasn't been shown as a 3-year-old.
No, but she's like I actually do think she is a bit surprisingly big for yard. Incredible form. She's been like much shorter
actually
in the market.
66 in places.
Yeah, I could see her as a visor for the first time. Wouldn't be amazed if she was in the first 3.
Yeah, interesting. We've got Alex Dunn from William Hill on the line. How are you, Alex?
Yeah, very well, thanks, guys. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks, Alex. Maybe before we go back to the Curragh, get into the Northumberland Plate, which is the big handicap of Saturday's card at Newcastle on the all-weather. Massive move on this Richard Hughes horse, Circus at Rome. Like 100 to 30 shot was about 20 to 1 earlier in the week. Has any more money come out for it today, or is it now maybe in a place where there's been so much money for it that it'll start to drift as we get closer to post-time?
That may be the case. It's not the case yet, though. Just keeps on being backed. Yeah, as you mentioned, a double-figure price earlier in the week. And then as you go through it, you think 9s, 8s, 7s, 6s, 5s, 4s. And you think, well, it's getting a bit short now. And then they keep going. So, yeah, 130 as things stand, Circus of Rome. We are paying 5 places each way if you were looking elsewhere. And it's now 8 to 1 the field. So certainly scope for one or two at slightly bigger prices. The other one that's been backed is San Etienne, horse number 12 for Brian Ellison, who loves to have winners up at Newcastle on plate day, so certainly wouldn't be a shock with that one to play a big part. Does have to show a little bit more than we've seen recently, but that one, a real springer in the market, 33s into 11s now. But yeah, it's all about Circus of Rome, basically. That is the one that punters have wanted all week long, and as we speak right now, are still wanting Circus of Rome.
What do you want in it?
Spirit Mixer won the race last year. I think that one's got a squeak each way. I didn't have a strong view personally, but that's the one that I thought could run a decent race. But I'm just fascinated by the Circus of Rome because clearly the money is coming from, you know, decent sources and people who would know if Circus of Rome was ready to run a big one. Richard Hughes a shrewd cookie as well, so I'm very wary of the market leader, but too short for me anyway.
Do you have a view on this at all, Johnny?
Small on Zandabad for Tony Martin, didn't he win this with Alphonse Legrand? If you go to his form, his run over 1.5 miles at York last year would give him a big chance. That was under William Buick. Niall McCullough riding tomorrow must be one of the oldest riders in either weighing room. But he definitely has a chance if he's on a going day in the race. falls into his favour. The gamble on the Hughes runner is fascinating. I mean, the way he's been campaigned, I love to see this. Like, it's not a race I'm going to have a bet in, but Cirques of Rome, to see, like, drop back to a mile the last day. It looks like this has been the plan for some time, and fascinating to see. He's by, like, a real low-key siren, Circus Maximus, who probably stands for less than me as a stallion. But interesting to see. Richard Hughes is no moke. He's actually in New Zealand now, Circus Maximus.
It's mad, don't you, with these big gambles. Some of them come off and some of them don't.
Mm.
Remember Bill Joyce being back to the bumper there at Cheltenham a couple of years ago from mad prices and then did nothing.
Yeah, I feel that it's not what it was, but, like, to be fair, this is the Northumberland Plate. There is definitely something to it, but, like, say whatever he is now, 3-1, like, he could be double that tomorrow easily, and that's not to say he won't win, but...
No value, though, now. No value. I mean,
no.
I think Spirit Mixture is Annabad, the two horses you put up both 14-1 shots.
The only thing is, he's a four-year-old. I don't think there are that many in this race that look all that well handicapped.
Also, we've got the Northumberland Vase as well on Saturday at Newcastle. Just looking here, Alex, Believe It and You Can and Shrimp Shady, well named, are both fine for favouritism in this one.
Yeah, you've also got Alphonse Legrand in there at 10-1.
Yeah.
For Tony Martin. That one is currently on the drift, which you wouldn't want to see for a Tony Martin runner. He's also got Day Trader in the race, who's 11-1, again with Dal McCullough aboard. So I'd certainly keep an eye on that pair tomorrow. As far as moves are concerned in this one, fairly strong is Shrimp Shady for Andrew Balding and Rob Hornby. Has been in decent nick. To be fair, all those towards the head of affairs have been. They just haven't been in quite good enough nick to get themselves into the plate itself. And again, if you were looking for one at a price that I quite like, Treasure Island for Tim Easterby is 18-1. Carries a penalty in here off the back of a win just 5 days ago at Catterick. Will need to step up, but I thought arrives here in decent form and could give you a fair run for your money at a bit of a price, but just like the plate, really, really open and loads arriving there with decent claims.
Shrimp Shady's rock solid. I think they probably want him to get into the big one. Maybe it was the same with Alphonse Legrand, and Alphonse Legrand did get into the big one at Chester, but doesn't hear Sam Cohen interested in taking off five. But Shrimp Shady, I really like Mastercraftsman as a horse. He's very unexposed over the distance. Looks rock solid, Shrimp Shady for Andrew Balding.
When I was doing my pre-analysis for the Irish Derby, a boy named Susie was the each-way horse I had. Has been scratched in the race. Could run in the Eclipse now.
Ran a blinder in Shanty.
Yeah, fourth in the French Derby. Keep an eye on a boy named Susie for Dunnock O'Brien. There are worse horses to follow, I think, over the next while.
Do you know what I didn't realise? A boy named Sue, which I, you know, it was basically, I was talking to Phil about somebody and he was like, he'd be quite litigious. A boy named Sue. And I was like, presumably a boy named Susie is like some sort of play on that. Boy named Sue.
It's not a song.
No, what?
A boy named Sue. It's not a song.
It's a play on...
Buddy Holly or something.
And it's also a play on somebody who's quite litigious.
Right.
He likes to sue. But a boy named Susie... Because I was like, why would you call a colt a boy named Susie?
But it's maybe a play on the song. I thought it was a song, Boy Named Sue.
Johnny Cash.
Yeah.
Johnny Cash. I mean...
Ben, our producer there, is kindly
a lot younger than me and he somehow knows the Johnny Cash number from probably the 60s.
But you are Johnny Cash because you make all the money at the horse. Get it?
Yeah.
Johnny Cash.
I get it, yeah. You're definitely wrong, but I hung my head on that one, JD.
Yay. Yeah.
Boy named Susie. There must be something behind the name.
Let's go through a walk.
Probably the only horse that's taken out the Derby where you're like, I really would like if he were running to see because he ran so well. He was eye catching.
Follow him. So what about the Irish Derby market? Doesn't look that as much of a wall of fire, ring of fire. We're going to stop with the puns now, Alex. So we're just going to stop with the puns, Alex, and let you talk with the Irish Derby. What are you seeing?
Benvenuto Cellini is favourite, but pretty weak right now. Out to 6-4 from 11-10. And everyone that I've spoke to over the last day or two about Benvenuto Cellini says, no, I couldn't possibly back him at that sort of price in that race off the back of what happened at Epsom. So who is backing him? That's what I want to know. 6-4 favourite. 3-1 for Raheem. Christmas Day, 92. 6-1 for James J. Braddock and 12s and bigger the rest. In many ways, it is a repeat of what we saw at Epsom. Certainly all the same Aiden horses are turning up. I'm really interested in Raheem. We have no idea how good he could be. We could look back in a year's time and go, how did we let Raheem go off 3-1 in a race like that? But that could work both ways, I guess, depending on which way he goes from here. But yeah, untapped potential and certainly got my eye on that one.
What do you expect to happen with his price then?
I think it probably drift on the day,
right?
Because Aiden's normally fairly strong on the day. Certainly one of them will be anyway. But he's been back now into 3-1 from fours. And I will say, one mover in the race, who's one that I could not possibly have, but 50s into 20s has just gone back out to 25s now. That's action. Declan McDonough on board for Aidan O'Brien. I mean, may just be used as a pacemaker again, but had been nibbled at earlier this week, which I thought was interesting because I couldn't have action in the race, but someone somewhere thinks there was a bit of value in the 50s.
I feel he can place. Like, he beat the Derby winner in his trial. He's a solid horse. I'd forget about the run the last day. Wasn't blown away by the performance of the Dante, but he is quite solid. But I'd love to see Declan McDonough win a Derby.
Yeah, look, I mean, Declan will do his best. And was it that Wings of Eagles, Serpentine, these horses? And
if you're let off.
Right, yeah, and then yeah. Sometimes he can't be caught, so. I wouldn't be underestimating any runner in the race. What about these horses in these two-year-old races on Saturday, Alex? Confucius and Sun Goddess. Will people be looking for the double on these two-year-old Aidan O'Brien horses? They're about odds on for the Anglesey Stakes and Early Stud Stakes.
Yeah, I'd imagine so. We've currently enhanced the double, actually, from 5-4 out to 11-8. Confucius is all the rage. 8-11 into twos on already. My only reservation is, it is such a quick turnaround. And the weather and everything else, you just think, do I really want to take twos on Confucius? But very strong in the betting. Sun Goddess the same, twos on, but has been around that price for a little while now. And really ought to win that race. But at the same time, we are dealing with unexposed runners who could improve a huge jolt, whether they run at Ascot or not. Controller's the interesting one in that race, but so weak in the betting right now. 9s out of 14s, having been so strong at Ascot and then not running particularly well, but way too soon to completely draw a line through that one. More of a watching brief, I'd guess, this time around. But yeah, 14s controller. But yeah, the two favourites are very, very strong.
Then we have that also that Pretty Potty Stakes for the fillies, mile and 2 furlongs, the big group one on Saturday, 3:55. Alex, Thundery Non won the Oaks so impressively, is odds on, and Strange seems to be the other horse, or Strange picking up market support. Is that what you're seeing?
Yeah, 8-11 now for Thundering On. Strange is 100-30, 9-1 for One Look, and Red Letter also in at 9s down, 16s and bigger the rest. But yeah, Thundering On is sure to be very popular, and if I'm honest, at 8-11, when we've just talked about two heavily odds on shots, I think she's got as good a claims as them. I think she's probably more solid because we sort of know what we're going to get from her. That said, Estrange is a worthy rival. I just thought Thundering On was the class act in the race, but yeah, I'm looking forward to that one. I think that will be a humdinger of a contest. I think Estrange can serve it up to her, but I think Thundering On will prove too good.
I find this race, I'm betwixt and between. If it's Thundering On just going to bolt up here, given how likely where she is, but I'm really intrigued to see what the market makes for her. She was quite well backed without being, you know, hammered in the betting at Epsom, but I thought it was a bang average Oaks. But I'm it's almost like a watch and brief, even though I put up a Red Letter in the race.
What else are you spotting then for the weekend, Alex? Anything that you're seeing in any handicaps or anything?
There's one race, 2:45 at the Curragh, where there's so many that arrive with really good chances. Grey Dream Believer's the 7-2 market leader in that one. But I wouldn't be shocked to see a decent run from Meriden, 11-2, with Chris Hayes aboard. Now, this one's been lugging left-handed. Chris Hayes will have to be on guard to stop that from happening. But I thought 11-2 might be a bit of value there. That said, it's a hot race with loads of informed runners. Elsewhere, what have we got? We mentioned the plate. We mentioned the Vars. Yeah, I think that's about it. There's some really competitive action, and then a fair few shorties as well. So I've no doubt that whatever racing you like, this weekend's got something for you. But yeah, I'm most intrigued, I think, by Meriden in that 2:45.
Johnny Ward, are you spotting anything else in the handicaps this weekend? It may be like you run out of odds for everything, but I mean, you often are following horses that have got current entries now this weekend.
Yeah, we have a lot of handicaps. From a punter perspective, I really like handicaps. I'd much more be more inclined to back a handicap in it. Back when handicaps, you generally know the form. The horses in maidens, it's a lot of guesswork, and that's why I like backing in handicaps. I think you've a fair angle to, you know, you control the race a little bit. Meriden is owned by Dennis O'Brien's son Patrick, has been an incredible improver. I was at her first race in Down Royal when she won. She's been really, really good, gone up to 86 from something like 57. So she has a chance there in that 245. I've a couple of horses tomorrow that I do like, but the one I'll give it as my charity bet as well, if that's
okay,
right.
Okay, let me just queue it up here. Johnny Ward's charity bet, €50 on the nose or 25 each way.
Yeah.
What are you going to go for this weekend?
Between Louth Footballers and Dundalk FC and all that, the Cooley Peninsula, it's been a great time if you're into sports in the that part of the Kingdom of Oriel. And the 4:30, the Reserve Ladies Derby handicap, Orla Tynan takes off 7 off the bottom horse, Cooley's Miss. I think it's £1 out the weights. Orla Tynan's strike rate is, I don't think there's enough made of this. She's like 9 from 51 or something. Incredible strike rate for a jockey starting off. Granddaughter of trainer Matty Tynan, and Cooley's Mist over a mile and two on nice ground has plenty going for him, I think, at what would probably be a nice price.
Okay, 25 each way.
Yeah,
Cooley's Mist is Johnny's charity bet on the Racing Pod this week, 25 each way, number 13 in the 4:30 at the Curra on Saturday, with Orla Tynan in the saddle. That's the charity bet this week. If you're going to have a punt yourself, do so responsibly. Alex Dunn from William Hill, thank you so much. Speak soon.
Cheers, lads. Thank you.
Johnny, thank you.
Cheers,
and
Jenny.
Enjoy the sun.
Yeah. Best of luck to the Dubs or not on Sunday.
And to Galway. That was the Racing Pod for this week. Remember, folks, it's free wherever you get your pods, and we'll chat next week.
The Racing Pod on Off the Ball with William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
Off the Ball. GAA.
I think if everybody's been honest with themselves, you know, we would have went down to Dublin on the hope that we can ignite the thing again. But once we were beaten by Cork, I think we knew deep down that we weren't going to win in all Ireland.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.